You are now listening to the Jason Capital Show. So sit down and lend me your ears.
I am Jason Capital. You are an action taker in this world of talkers, and we are here together handcrafting your legendary life.
How do I make money? What does your day look like?
What were some of the biggest challenges you faced?
Ask JC.
Hey, what is up, world? My name is Anton Libropoulos. So listen, I'm about to interview Jason Capital, and I'm super excited about this because I'm going to ask him questions that he's never been asked before. So I'm super excited. I'm actually originally from New Orleans. I got into his mastermind years and years ago and struggled for the first year and a half. And it was really, really difficult for me. Yet I stuck with it, went through the struggles, went through the pain, eventually figured it out. And once I built my business on Facebook, I was able to move away where I was originally from and establish and build new relationships. And I'm so excited for this interview over the next 60 minutes. Because I'm gonna come with some stuff that he's never been asked before, and also pay very close attention to everything that we share, because I've been there. I've started out, I've built a big business, you know, from nothing, then lost it, and then reestablished it. So I'm super excited for this. Let's go.
Dude, it's crazy, man. I got into your mastermind about 4.5 years ago, and it's been insane to see that when you just stick it out, through the hard times, you can actually make anything happen. And I didn't believe that, I didn't get that in the beginning, yet I was still so hungry. And I'm glad all the psychological principles that you basically like just dropped on all of us, it's great to see the ones that made it and the ones that didn't. And I'm super grateful for that. So I just wanted to start with that one, man.
Thank you, man. And what's fascinating to me is that the people who have made it from that group are exactly what you said. They're just the ones who kept going.
Yeah.
Right. That's why like my shirt says that, right? That's it. Like they didn't, like you guys, you're smart, you're talented, you work hard, but so was everyone else. But you guys just kept going, and a lot of them just gave up at a certain point. And that's always the deciding factor.
It's very simple.
Yeah.
It's extremely simple.
Well, it's too simple. And because it's too simple, you know, people have a tendency to veer towards the complex because they think, like, I don't understand that. That must be working. There must be something to it. When the simple one, you're like, that can't be that simple. No, it's literally that fucking simple. Just keep going and you will probably succeed. Or you'll just waste your life, right?
Yeah,
but at least you kept going, right? At least you tried, yeah.
That's the thing. It came to me where I was like, I either have to do this or I am going to die. Like, that's what it felt like.
Because
from where I came from and then going through a little bit of pain or struggle to learn a bunch of new things, it was worth it. Because it's like, fuck, dude, like, I'm gonna die anyway. Like, why not, yep, like, live while I'm actually alive and not die while I'm alive?
Yeah, I mean, I think Benjamin Franklin had the great quote where he was like, most people die at 75, but they stop living at 25.
Yeah,
right?
Totally.
And it's really sad. And it's funny because when Ben Franklin wrote that, there wasn't Instagram or Pinterest or Snapchat or TikTok or any of this shit. And yet, like, while platforms and technology has changed, people don't change.
Yeah, that's so true. And it's crazy too, because I've seen that most people think that people change, and it's totally not true. And we're able to see that,
yeah,
through,
I
like,
mean, dude, it's so weird to me when I'm from Michigan, right? And whenever I go back home, which isn't that often, maybe once every couple of years or whatever, I go back and I'll see some people I went to high school with, or I'll see some of my parents' friends or whatever, and it's been 8 years, 10 years, 12, they don't change. Nothing's changed. Everything is still the same, and it scares me. It's like a good wake-up call every time I go there, because I come back and I audit where I'm at, and I'm like, what have I not changed? What have I become too comfortable with or too much of a creature of habit with? And when that happens, I'm like, let me put this shit in the blender and hit full strength, and let's just mix some shit up here.
Definitely.
Yeah.
I love it. I'll save a story to answer on that one in a second. I want to change things up here. So let me ask you this question. What were you like when you were a little kid? Like, what were you like?
Yeah.
What, like, how were you, how did you interact with your parents? Like how were you as a little kid? Like, what excited you when you were a little kid? And did that change when you became older, got into business, or like, how was that journey for you?
I have quite a few memories from like when I was really young. I'll just tell you about a couple. One of them, I remember getting off the school bus, first grade, and as I get off the bus, my mom had bought me this new shirt from this store. It's called Brody's. And the shirt was like, it wasn't Hawaiian, but there was like blue and white. It was a bunch of different colors. It was cool for a six-year-old, right? And I get off the bus, and my friend Josh sees the shirt, and he's like, dude, where do you get these shirts from? I don't understand. They're so cool, right? And in my mind, I'm like, my mom just bought it for me. I don't know, right? Next day, he comes to school wearing the same shirt. And I'm like, I didn't know the word fuck back then, but I'm like, fuck this guy. And I never wore that shirt again, right? And so I have this deep memory from when I was younger that I would do something, and then people would copy it, and then because I wanted to be different, I had to do something different. And I felt like that was one thing that was ingrained in me very, very early, was this need to zig when everyone else zagged. That was one thing.
So you had that from very...
That was like ingrained in me. This idea, gotcha, that Earl Nightingale quote of like, if you see everyone going one way, just go the opposite way.
Go the other.
Way. I did that instinctively.
So you got that one. That's good.
Yeah, I was a personal development guru when I was six. So that was important.
Nice.
Yeah. So that was one. Another one though is, I remember I was 8 or 9 years old, and I was at Blockbuster, which we all remember, right?
Oh, yeah. Every weekend.
My mom, yeah. So we get a movie on Friday. We watch it, whatever. My mom returns. I'm with her waiting in line to return this movie. And there's a guy in front of us, and he's returning the movie also, his movie. And he starts yelling at the Blockbuster's employee. This is not late. I'm not paying your $3 extra charge, whatever it is. He goes, I make $300,000 a year, and I'm concerned. I don't want to pay your fucking $3 late fee charge. Screw it. And he's yelling all this shit. My mom's super embarrassed. So we get through. We're walking outside the store. She goes, honey, I just want you to know that man who's screaming, I make all this money and stuff. In life, you'll notice that a lot of rich people are jerks in that way. And if you make money, you shouldn't treat people that way, or something like that. But of course, at 8 years old, all I heard was rich people are jerks.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, yeah.
And it's that
kind of... Your brain
does
something weird there.
Yeah, well, here's the thing. The psychology goes, obviously, at your eight, you don't have a critical factor in the front of your brain that's going to stop messages from getting in. So that's why you're so impressionable. And if you get that belief at a very young age that rich people are jerks, then are you going to want to be a rich person in life?
No.
No, because you're not a jerk. No one has that identity. And so this is a global belief that's really negative for a lot of people, because it will stop them from, you know, attaining wealth. Whether you think rich people are jerks or greedy or assholes or whatever. And so that was like one belief, one weed I had to pluck out from the garden as I started to work on myself when I got older. So those are just two things that I remember from my childhood. In general, though, dude, very happy child, very energetic. I wanted to play basketball all day and just play with my friends. And in school, I couldn't pay attention at all.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I feel you.
Yeah, that's about it.
I got into so much trouble, man.
Yeah.
It was crazy. I've gotten kicked out of middle school. I got kicked out of high school. I dropped out of college. Like, it just none of it fit. And it's so funny because I went back to New Orleans where I grew up in May. And I went back there and I hung out with three friends that I used to be friends with in high school. And they all live with each other. And it's crazy because I was talking to them and listening to the stories and listening to the language patterns that they have. And they all were still speaking in the same thing from 15 years ago. And it was so fascinating because they haven't grown. And I like gave them all I could right there to drop it. I was like, dude, I only got 2 hours with you guys. Pay attention, listen, because the world around you is dying. And you can actually save your ass, and you got to do it now.
Did they get it?
I think maybe 0.1%, which I guess a 1% shift is all you need. So maybe like 10% of 1%. But yeah, we'll see how they'll go over the next 5 to 10 years.
Dude, I'm a really big believer that people need pain to change.
Of course.
Like they need pain. Like
100%.
The promise just doesn't do it. The pain typically does.
Yeah.
And like that's a huge reason, obviously, why free advice and free coaching just doesn't work.
Yeah.
Because they're not in... They don't have enough pain.
Yeah,
to change.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're totally right.
Yeah.
And I used to be the other way because I didn't understand it. And I tried to help a lot of people, and it caused me to sink a little bit by doing that on people that really didn't want it. And I had to go through suffering and pain to learn to not do that moving forward and only work with people that really want to do it.
Yeah.
And that's something I just had to accept, because it was just a deep, deep belief that I didn't get, that was from my childhood, that I didn't even know was back there, you know. And it's just the way the world is. There's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, like the way I do it generally is like, I won't give free advice to people the only, like, just simply because I know it's going to fall on deaf ears.
Yeah, right? It'll go in one ear.
Yeah, totally. If you pay, if you haven't paid, you're not going to pay attention. Like, you're not really going to take it seriously. The only people that I will, like, get free advice for, and I will beat it into their heads over and over and over, are the people who are, I'm going to be spending a lot of time around, and they're going to be spending a lot of time around me. So maybe it's team members, maybe it's, you know, Natalie, my girlfriend, or maybe it's my brother, just someone who I know I'm gonna be spending time around. I'm like, if you're gonna be around me, your mindset has to be fucking like platinum. It's gotta be strong as fuck. It's gotta be good. And otherwise it's gonna rub off on me, that negativity. So I need to keep doing all kinds of different voodoo or whatever I have to do to keep training people to see the world in a way that's gonna be best for them. So that I can, like, it's selfish, so I can get some of that for myself.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, which you have to. Can't just give, not receive anything. Or no expectation, but yeah, I mean, you can't.
I mean, what do they say? Yeah. The hole that you give through is the same hole you receive through, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, nothing wrong with that. All right, so let's go here. What did it feel like when you were starting everything and you were building everything from the very beginning, when you were building your business, changing completely, going a different path than what most people go down? Because, like, I remember when I was there, it was so hard to continue on. And I remember talking to my mom, because I was about a year in, and I was just struggling and suffering for a whole year building multiple different businesses. And I got into, like, a debate with one of my business partners, and it was like, I either go or I don't go. And, like, I felt like I was just going to give it up and ruin everything I'd been building for months and months and months. Mm-hmm. And my mom said to me, which now we're talking before this, like, she's like, it's too late for me, Anton. You have to keep going. And that actually kept me in the game, because I could see someone that, you know, and it was my mom, which was extremely painful, because she hugged me and was just crying, like, do not give up on this. You've already committed. You left school. You've been in this thing. Like, keep pushing forward.
Yeah.
And, like, that was something that kept me going. And I was wondering, what kept you going in those early days when it was super dark and it felt like it was impossible to get through? What kept you alive and what kept you going to break through?
Dude, to be perfectly honest, it never felt like it was impossible. It never felt like dark like that. It did.
Okay.
I'm really glad that you pushed through and that your mom was like, helped you in that way. For me, I was in college, right? I was at Michigan State. My greatest motivation back then was like looking at my friends and being like, I don't want to be like you. I'm just going to be honest, right? They, like, I could tell, because I would tell them, like, dude, you literally get hammered on Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday daytime. And then you take Adderall just so you can make it to class Monday through Wednesday. So you can then party again for the next 5 days, Wednesday through Sunday again. And you're going to do this all year. And then at the end of this whole thing, you're then just going to get a job for a company you don't believe in, for a boss you don't respect, for a paycheck you don't really need. And that's how you're going to spend the rest of your life. And you're okay with this. And they'd be like, yeah, I'm okay with it. Yo, can you hand me another shot? Like, that, this was their response. They just, it was like the ostrich in the sand. Like, I'm just going to imagine this isn't really happening. Right. And I was just like, I don't want that. I will never let that happen in my life. Like, for me, it wasn't about money. It was just that I was never going to have a boss. I was never going to have a job. I was never going to have to wake up to an alarm clock.
Wow.
So that was my whole motivation. That was all that mattered. And the other thing is, I started making money. So I put my basketball website online, and it was terrible sales page, terrible sales copy, PayPal button, $14.95 for the thing. And no one bought it for like 4 months.
Right.
And then I went to this marketing seminar in Washington, D.C., where I met Craig Ballantyne.
Right.
And Craig took a look at it, and he was like, dude, this is terrible. He's like, but I see hope here. Right. And he goes, if I show you what you need to do here, and I promise you'll make money on it, like, would you take action on the plan? And I'm like, yeah, of course. He goes, great. Give me $1,000. I'm like, shit, I don't know. $1,000, do I have it? So I check my PayPal. I have like $1,400 to my name, whatever. I'm like, right, fuck
that,
it.
That moment.
Yeah, I'm like, fuck it. Like, yeah. Like, dude, what else? Like, $1,400 bucks. Yeah. I love it.
You're 20 years old, right?
20 years old.
Yeah,
$1,400. That's all the money. Like, I'm broke.
Yeah, it's okay.
Like, people are like, no, I have $3,500. No, you're fucking broke. Yeah. $3,500 is that's air. That's nothing.
Yeah.
Right? So I was broke. So it's not like I can't get more broke. I was like, all right, I'll do it, right?
Fuck it, let's go.
Yeah, so I did it, and he wrote the whole plan on a napkin. He showed me what to do, and then I went back to campus, and that very first month, we did $28,000, and I was 20 years old, right? I took the first 20 grand I had. I bought a convertible. That was the first thing I did.
I remember you talking about
the Audi convertible.
Yeah.
Audi, yeah, dude. So that was like, So it worked right away. The minute I paid for mentorship, I started making money. And I know someone listening,
when it clicked.
Yeah, someone skeptical listening to this would be like, that's a really good line to say, Jason, if you're selling mentorship. And they're totally right. It is a great line. Yeah. But I'm not going to lie about how I became. That is how it happened. I paid Craig money. He told me what to do. I listened to him. I made money. Like, that was it. And once I was making $20,000 at 20 years old, I dropped out of college officially. You know, from that point on, it was like, dude, let's just go up, up, and up. And yeah, there's a lot of this on the way up.
Oh, yeah.
But it gets less and less as you keep going.
I was going to, in that moment, like when that happened with Craig, like what also happened? Because I've seen a lot of people, they'll pay for advice, they get the advice, but then they don't take action. So what was it, like two things, what was it that he told you to do that worked being a part of a mastermind? And then also, like, I mean, you already answered the question. It's like, dude, let me just keep going up, up, and up. But, well, that came after, but like, What did you guys specifically do that he broke down for you that like made a difference?
Sure. So the big idea was you like I had a website up.
Yeah.
But
because you had that.
Yeah, I had that, but the copy wasn't good, and I had no traffic sources.
Gotcha.
Right. My traffic sources were spamming forms. Right? Like it was 2009. Like that's not a reliable traffic source. Right. So he was just like, dude, you just like fix the copy, and then get affiliates, and then do a launch with the affiliates. Like, it's a very simple model. And he was like, here's an email that someone sent me to get affiliates. Use this email. This will probably work. And I did it. And, dude, I had two affiliates. It's like you need a lot. Like, I had two. One of them was called Jump USA, which was a big sports training company at the time. And they were big enough that they made most of the sales for me. And, you know, we were promoting a recurring offer. So I not only made money up front, but I built a business off of it, right?
Right.
That was it. That's the whole thing, right? Nice. And could that work in 2019? Of course it would work in 2019.
Oh, yeah.
In endorsement marketing, JV marketing,
more affiliates
marketing.
Now than ever.
Yeah, right? Yeah. So it was simple. Like, there wasn't anything magic about it. It was just someone who had been there and done that pointing out to me what I should have been doing the whole time. And I didn't have the arrogance to think I knew better. I had at least I had the humility at that point in my life to be like, I don't know what the fuck I'm doing here.
Yeah.
He kind of does. Let me listen to him.
Right.
That was it.
Got it. Awesome. Sweet. And okay, so that was the start of everything. Now let's fast forward. Like, how does it feel to have this environment that you've created, as in your mastermind, how does it feel to have created a mastermind that's full of abundance? For example, Lorna, and at the time she was just my business partner, but now we started dating, we live together, which has been amazing. We'll talk about, like, because I remember you were interviewing, I can't remember his name, he's been all the masterminds, software programmer for NASA, or used to be.
Tyler. Yeah.
So he talked about having a girlfriend and what that does for his life and his business and everything, and how much of a fucking amazing relief it is to have that, and to have that rock there for, you know, the past year. And I was going to say, she spoke in your mastermind, and she spoke for 20 minutes. She spoke for 20 minutes, and she was able to close a six-figure deal off that, and she didn't even pitch. So what does it feel like, man, to, like, have a mastermind that you've created where there's so much abundance involved in it? Like, how does that feel, man?
It feels normal.
Like, it feels normal.
I love that response, dude.
I
expect that.
Okay.
If that makes sense.
I love it, dude.
Yeah, I expect it to be that way.
You know, because I've been to masterminds where it's not like that.
No. Well, hopefully I'm attracting the right people in smart groups, right? You know, what's funny is the last, maybe 3 weeks ago or so, I had Sam Robson, right? So he came by and he interviewed me for about an hour. And he was telling me that him and Tyler they're going to start this coaching program, and they have all these big ideas for it. And he goes, how should we grow it? How should we do it? And I was like, you want my advice? Like, honestly? He's like, yeah. I was like, don't fucking do it. Like, don't go into coaching at all. What do you mean? Dude, coaching is like the worst business you could ever be in. And I'm not fucking with him. I'm like, please, like, do not do it.
What kind of coaching specifically?
I think coaching in general is like the worst industry for anyone to be in. And I'm like, I don't know if I'm the first person to be saying this right now in 2019, but like, I think by 2021, everyone will be saying what I'm saying right now. The problem with the coaching business is that the majority of people who come in, they're not serious about actually taking action.
Right.
A lot of people join the masterminds and the coaching groups because they think they want to be friends with the guru, or they want to hang out, or they confuse activity with achievement. So they join the group, but then they don't actually implement. And so they don't get the result as fast as they wanted. And now they're deflated, and now they blame the group, and then they drop out. Retention rates in coaching groups are awful.
Yeah, it's turnover.
The turnover is crazy high. And like, I want to sell a product where after I make the sale, I'm done.
Right.
I don't have to, like, when you sell coaching, I got to do all this fucking work to sell you. And finally, thank God, the client says yes. Now I got to fucking fulfill for 3 months, 6 months, 12 months, 24 months. Now the job just began.
Yeah,
You, like, your heart is just brimming with, like, this desire to just touch people and reach people and coach people.
Right.
Don't fucking do it.
Right.
It's a bad, like,
they're getting in there for the wrong reasons, which is what you said at the beginning.
Which is what most people get into coaching because it's easy money.
Yeah. Exactly. Right.
How many coaches out there are just failed entrepreneurs?
Oh, tons. My girlfriend Lauren and I talk about this all the time. We go to events and the ones that are coaches, we actually stay away from them.
Yes.
We avoid them.
Yeah.
Because we do not want to take on that energy.
Yeah.
And most of them stay broke and like, yeah, it's crazy, man. Like, it's interesting you brought that up. Like, because a few years ago, everyone's like, be a coach.
Totally, yeah.
And just to piggyback what you said, easy money, they do it for the easy money. Anything that has the easy connotation around it, from what I've learned from Rich Cook, like, I stay away. Like, I fucking run the other way. Whenever anyone's saying this is easy or this, I run the other way. Now, when something is simple, I'll pay attention. Mm-hmm. But when it's easy, I'm out.
it's a negative indicator. There's no question that this is like, it's bullshit. Easy is the word we use for bullshit, right? But certain things, there are certain things that are easy, but if something's easy and it makes money in some way, then it very quickly, it should become not easy because everyone should be doing it. It should become incredibly competitive and saturated, right? Simple though is different. And when someone has something simple, like if someone's like, dude, this is really simple, you should do it. That doesn't appeal to me so much as someone saying, listen, this used to be really hard. I figured out a way after fucking 14 years where I've got it down to a pretty simple process. Let me show you that process. That appeals to me, right? It's like Einstein's whole thing about don't make anything, like make it as simple as possible, but not any simpler than it needs to be, right?
Gotcha.
So like usually simplicity is the sign of a master.
Right.
Right. Like Steve Jobs was like a master, and the iPod, like these things are simple in their architecture and their design.
Yeah.
But
they are. But it makes it simple.
Yeah. And usually like there's people out there who make things overly complex.
Right.
And those are the people that are usually in the intermediate stage. I don't want to stay away from them. The advanced people, though, typically they have a framework for something. Right, experts have frameworks, so they have like a, you know, you ask these three questions and then you get the result, or you do this, you do this, you do this. I built this process over 18 years. That's what you do, and then you get the result. Right, those are the kind of people that I wanna be around.
Nice. How do you feel when you see people that you've touched or people that you've influenced? How does it make you feel to see them succeed? Like for example, and I'll share some of my story here that. So around 4.5 years ago, I got in your mastermind, didn't have a clue about marketing, didn't know diddly squat, didn't know shit on what to do, how to do it, got into your mastermind, stayed committed, and for the first year, didn't get anywhere. Went to another marketing event, and through combining the mastermind that I was a part of with you and that person that could work with me every single day, literally within, I met them 2 months later, we built a business. 13 days later, I made over $1,000. Then within 3.5 months, I did over $300,000 in sales and took about almost 70 grand home after taxes and expenses and all that in 3.5 months. And then I went and I built that business for 3 years, lost it about a year and a half ago, lost all the income, my health went to shit. Then I went and found people that could help me. My girlfriend revived me back to health for about a month. Like I remember about a year ago, my health just went completely gone. Like I hurt my spine years ago, stopped working out, like lost everything health-wise. And then I went and used actually some of the principles that you taught me on how to connect with people in the health industry and totally got all my energy back. I was able to go back into the gym after 3 years of not being able to work out. I went, started doing rings and all this stuff. I'm doing like flips in the gym now like I never fucking do. And then I actually now have gone into the financial services industry, which is completely different in insurance. Mm-hmm. And now I'm applying internet marketing and basically like social media and combining both of those together in an industry that is like so null and void, yet manages trillions of dollars in asset. And like, I'm just one story from that, you know, years ago and people that you've influenced. And like, I know we talked about earlier, you didn't come from a very dark place. Yet in New Orleans, where I grew up and all the shit that I went through, like, it was a dark place, and I was able to get out of that, and I'm so much happier that I found, like, and all the psychological principles and just the psychology that you teach, not just the marketing, not just the business, and now we're able to go out, and I've seen people like Tyler and other people like Sam and Kirby and all these people go out and change their lives. Like, how does it, like, truly feel to see someone, like, I know you don't directly, like, get compensated for that or whatever you want to call it, but, like, mm-hmm. how does that feel to see people like move from a shitty place to, like, a way happier human being? Like, how does that feel?
Dude, I feel like I have more work to do.
That's okay.
Yeah, like I'm super happy about it, and I'm super appreciative about it, but I feel like it's just like I'm like here and I have this much more to do. Right? Like that's awesome. That's just the truth. Because like I have this very public goal I talk about all the time now of creating 100 millionaire students.
Okay.
Or in the next 3 years. I started this goal 4 months ago. In the last 4 months, we've created 10 millionaires.
Wow.
In four
that's
months.
Awesome.
Right.
That's huge.
Kirby was my first millionaire student. But now we have 10. Right. And I know their stories. I know why they were motivated. I know they're all in different industries, different ages. I got a fucking 19-year-old millionaire student who's doing 80 grand a day right now. They're just like ridiculous numbers. And it's all cool, but I'm like, fuck, I got my work cut out for me. I have 100 that I've set a goal for. And I made it very publicly. Like, the big thing I always tell my clients, tell everyone, is to socialize your goals. Right? So, like, publicly speak them to everyone, because you are basically, you're storing accountability in everyone around you. When you tell them your goal, because the next time they see you, they're going to fucking ask you about it. Because how many people do you know tell you their goal when you meet them? Like, no one does. So I tell everyone this thing, because I'm storing accountability in everybody. And I have 10. I have 90 more to go. So I'm super happy about these 10. I'm going to keep helping them. But I'm like, I just have a lot of fucking work to do here. But I'm excited about that. Right? Well, my whole thing
that's
is,
cool.
My whole thing is, after I create 100, I am going to write a book about it. And each chapter is going to be 1 millionaire student. And I'm going
nice.
To push this book out everywhere. And then all those people out there who coming from a dark place like you were, and certainly I didn't come from a dark place, but I had a lot of challenges too. They can read the book and they can be like, fuck, 100 fucking people in this digital age did it. They didn't have connections or degrees or start with money. I could fucking do this.
Yeah.
And and because they're all like, I got Kirby, 62. I got a 19-year-old. I got a 28-year-old. I got all ages, and I got girls. I got guys. So in this book, I don't care who you are, you're going to read one of the chapters, you may be able to identify with somebody.
Yeah.
Someone's going to reflect back to you like, fuck, I'm just like them.
Yeah.
And that's the person that is going to become like your success model, your inspiration.
Yeah. Dude, it's insane. I remember before you really got into teaching the business stuff, I remember learning more of like status and psychology and like that and communication skills.
Yes.
And it's so fucking fascinating, man, because once I built my business, a lot of other things that I completely used to, you know, I used to scroll on Instagram and see people driving exotic cars. And then I started an exotic car rental company on basic communication skills that I learned from you. Like basic communication skills. I went out, I introduced one guy who owned an exotic car rental company in San Diego. It's called San Diego Prestige. Introduced him to John, which was another person in your mastermind, who has a net worth between like 10 and 30 million. So for him, he's in a different stage. But I couldn't afford to buy exotic cars, even though I'd built my business. Mm-hmm. And I was able to fast track that lifestyle by connecting them two together. And then they started a business. We started with a Ferrari, then got a Lambo, and then we got a yacht at the beginning of this year. And it's crazy, like, that wasn't the business stuff. That, and I miss that stuff so much, and I've gone back and revisited that a little bit. Like, the communication and the status they used to teach, like, I remember that was the most funnest time of learning through you, man. Like, it's crazy, like, how that stuff goes. And you kind of already talked to her already, but I was going to say, what keeps you motivated? And you talked about it, so we can skip over this question, because I was going to ask, what keeps you motivated now, you know, after 10 years of being in the game? Mm-hmm. And so that's what it is, creating 100 millionaires and then documenting that in a book.
Yeah, I mean, dude, that's just another milestone.
Right. Right. And there's something else.
It's another check mark. I got a lot of games I'm playing, and there's always a bigger game. I think it's important that everyone has a bigger game that they're playing. Like, you can have the goal in front of you, and that's cool. But if it's not attached to something bigger and better and brighter, then you're not going to be that motivated by the goal in front of you. Right. So there's Create 100 Millionaire Students. There's a reason it's that number in that time frame and so on and so forth.
Right. Gotcha. There's a reason behind everything that you do.
There's a bigger goal that leads into. That is a step towards where this is going eventually.
Gotcha.
Yeah. Like something I've learned a lot recently in the last couple of years is, like, I learned in my 20s how to make a lot of money, but I learned how to make a lot of money. There's a lot of guys out there who know how to get a lot of money without making it, right? And I mean, like, other people's money, or they're going to get investors and they're going to get $100 million investment from this guy, or
right.
$400 million
from this
group. You hear
about all the time in Silicon Valley.
Yeah, all that kind of stuff, right?
Right.
And so I was like, well, I'm smarter than these guys.
Yeah.
Right, like, why is it that, like, this guy who doesn't work as hard as me, isn't as smart as me, he can get a deal for $300 million and I only know how to, like, make $6 million in a year or something. Right, like, that's cool, but, like, his number's way bigger and I'm working way right. harder. What's going on here? So like the last couple of years, I've been learning that it's not a bigger game. It's just a different game.
It's a different game.
Different rules, different game, different players. It's like, okay, you got good at chess. Here's fucking, I don't know, what's that? What's the game called? Not war. What's that? Where you, like, world takeover? Risk.
Still World of
Risk. Risk. Where people play for, like, big
money. World of Warcraft.
Yeah, World of Warcraft. Fortnite, yeah. Like, it's just a different game.
Yeah.
And that's it. But one of the things as I've learned this other game is that all these players, everything they're doing is leading towards something bigger, whether it's an exit or an IPO or something like that.
I was going to ask you, because I have this question right now. I remember, what was his name that interviewed you at the High Status Summit?
Ash. Yeah.
So he asked you, I can't remember what the question was, but it led to you saying, you know, I've learned how to make a bunch of money. I've become rich in my 20s. And I may be mistaken with the words I'm using, but you're like, yeah, that's kind of like bored, or I'm kind of bored with, or it's kind of boring. Like, now, like, what's the thing that, okay, so you've, and I guess maybe you've kind of answered that a little bit. Like, you've gotten this point where you know how to make money. You know how to do that. You've established, you became rich, obviously. What's the thing now? Do you have anything that you're trying to accomplish out of financial wealth building? Is there anything outside of that that you're trying to, like, build and make world class? Like, is there anything in those avenues?
Outside of money?
Yeah.
Yeah. So one thing that I've fallen in love with the last 2 years is yoga. All right. I love yoga. I practice every day. I think I try to get everyone to do it. Everyone who I get to do it, they finish the class and they're like, the first 10 minutes, I hated you. And I was like, why am I doing this? And now after 60 minutes, I'm so grateful that you just made me do that, because I'm going to do this every day now. So I do have this idea of, I want to throw the world's biggest yoga festival ever, like the yoga awareness, and just bring that to more people.
Gotcha.
Because I think right now, a lot of people, when they hear the word yoga, they think of crystals and the law of attraction and things like that. And it's nothing like that at all. So I think that's one thing that's important to me. Dude, the other thing is, like, have you ever heard of an infinite game?
Yeah.
You have. So yeah. Simon Sinek, he talks about that,
yeah.
Right? So
he talks about it a lot.
Yeah, it's his whole thesis right now. He's riding infinite game to a lot of paid keynote speeches right now. And then in 3 years, he'll have a different idea that he'll ride. Right? So that's how that rodeo
that
works.
World goes.
Yeah. But I really like the idea of an infinite game.
Okay.
And I see my life, my business as that way right now. Whereas
gotcha.
Everything's really fucking good.
Mm-hmm.
I just want the game to keep going.
Gotcha.
So yeah, there's things I want to play with. There's things I want to build, a yoga festival. You know, I want to build and sell companies. I want to do a lot of different things. But I just want to keep playing for as long as I can.
Gotcha.
And feel good while I do it.
Okay. Gotcha.
Yeah.
Nice. And that leads to this question. So with how you are in business and the perception and the identity that you've built, is that an identity that you are all the time? For example, with Natalie, like, the perception that you've built around you and your business with status and teaching that in high status, like, do you still have that armor? Do you have that shield up when it's just you and Natalie alone? Or is there, like, this vulnerable side of JC that comes out?
No, of course there's that vulnerable side. And I think in the last year or so, like, even on a public level, I've I've dropped a lot of that armor as I've matured, or whatever you want to call it. I've gone through a lot of work on myself, whether through yoga or bioenergetics or other experiences. And yeah, dude, like, of course there's that realness. The thing is, even with my own team, like, I'm not the kind of leader where I'm like, here's what we're doing. This is it. Let's fucking do it. And if it doesn't work, no, you need to work harder. I'm not that leader at all. Here's our outcome. Here's an idea. I think a plan that I think could work. What do you think? What do you think is best here? I want to hear not from everybody, because not everyone's opinion matters and different things, but everyone who is relevant to this topic, I want to hear from everyone. I want to be open and vulnerable and say, I'm not necessarily sure what the best plan of action is here. Let's workshop this together. Let's build a plan together, and then we will, we'll implement and we'll make it happen. Right? So, like, dude, I don't know if you've noticed, I don't talk about status that much anymore. Right, I don't teach it very much anymore. It's been at least over, I think, almost 2 years, right? Or at least a year and a half. And so, like, this is my last high status summit ever this year. Right,
gotcha. We're done with it. Yeah.
So it's just it's a phase of my life that I've definitely moved out of, but it's still relevant, and it will never not be relevant. The idea of status and communication skills is still probably the most important thing any entrepreneur can learn.
Yeah, dude.
All the high-income skills, like the copy, the closing, consulting, social media, the tactical stuff, the Facebook ads.
Yeah, those are strategies.
Those are all strategies. Those things will come and go and change, but
exactly.
That person who is great at influencing and connecting and being charismatic
that is important.
Irresistible to other people,
yeah.
That stuff will never, ever go out of... it'll always be hot and it'll always work. And so, like,
it's the way humans work.
Period. Like I have, dude, I have this training called IG Agent.
Okay.
Right. Which, we've put almost 2,000 people through it in the first 5 months or something like that. And I've never had so many people who have replaced rat race income with laptop income in one program. We have 89 people who've done this in 4 months. It's insane. Like, they've quit their job. I got a message, and I was in the bathroom before this, from a guy, Clement Jackson, who's making 4 times as much money as an IG agent as he was at his 9-to-5. It took him 101 days from buying program to being laptop life for good, right?
That's insane.
He's one out of 89.
That's awesome.
But of those 89, all the ones who are succeeding, they all have the status thing down. Whether they, like, a lot of them read my book, or they went through my materials, or they just had it on their own, they, like, when you meet them, you don't go, wow, that person's a fucking loser. Right, or you don't go, oh, this person feels really needy to me. Like, you're like, oh, you're a cool dude. Like, I would totally grab a beer with you.
Yeah.
Right, and so there's a lot of people who listen, in my audience, who listen to me, who want to replace rat race life with laptop life. They want to be a guru. They want to be a thought leader. They want to have their own brand or their own audience.
Yeah.
They want to get clients. And they're young for a lot of them. None of those things are ever going to happen for that person until they become a high status individual themselves. And they know how to communicate that to the world.
Yeah.
So... like, even if I'm done with the High Status Summit and I'm not, like, pushing my book anymore, anyone who listens to me, they need to study that stuff. It has to be the foundation. It won't, like, even if you don't listen to me, fuck, you listen to someone else and you're trying to, doesn't fucking matter. It has to be the foundation.
Yeah, it's fascinating you actually say that that's the foundation. I've actually talked about that multiple times with people in the mastermind. And that you know, when I was in your mastermind for a few years, like, we always talked about that. And now I've kind of grown myself to where I'm able to use those even deeper to communicate with the older generations, because they're in control of most of the wealth. And that, of course, is always shifting. So it's pretty cool, because I get it all the time. They're like, wow, it's crazy what you're doing at such a young age, and da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And I'm like, it goes back to the basics of just understanding how humans work, and understanding language patterns and behavior patterns, and really understanding, like, how the nervous system and all of it interacts with language. And, like, once I really got a solid grasp on that over a few years, then I can easily go take the strategies. And, you know, I said the word easy because they actually do become easy once you have what understands of, like, the understanding of how a human works. You can go make things very simple, easy, and, like, it literally looks like it's effortless.
Yeah.
Like, it's insane.
Yeah.
And I was going to ask you this, and you kind of touched on it a little bit already, and it's interesting because the questions, how I line them out, the next questions that I had, you already started to answer them, which is very interesting because you understand human psychology and communication.
No, I just get lucky, man.
You just got lucky. Yeah. When looking back at your old programs and some of the things that you've created for a lot of people, like, looking back there, how does it look to see at the person you were 10 years ago and through the evolution of that? Like, have you ever gone back and looked at what it was 10 years ago?
Yeah, I look back. Cause what's weird is that my videos from 10 years ago are still online.
Right.
Right. And that's not normal for a lot of people. It just happened that way. So I can I'm up late at night one night and I can't sleep and I happen to be high or something, I can just open up my laptop and be like, damn, what did I used to be like back then? And I can just watch videos of me. Right. And I'll do that sometimes. And I'll be like, I remember that guy. I remember that dude. I really like that dude. He didn't know shit, but I like him. You know? And that's how I feel. I don't know. Every time I look back, I go, I fucking like that guy. He didn't know jack shit though, but
he was just still doing it.
He was gonna keep trying.
Yeah.
He wasn't gonna stop.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's how I look back at just 3 years ago and I look at how I used to talk and I'm like, oh my God, dude, how did I get anything? Like, how did I sell anything? But I guess it was just the energy and who I was and not giving up and always trying.
Dude, I just want to acknowledge you for a second and say that your communication skills, like from a few years ago to now, are infinitely improved, man. And
I appreciate
it's awesome
that.
To see.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you know what's, it's interesting because I was the worst communicator growing up. And when I say worst, I mean the worst. The worst communication with myself, the worst communication with others. Like, it was so bad. Like, I was at this health conference in Vegas about a week and a half ago, and my grandmother came with me, and my mom was there, and I'm going around my grandmother, and like, literally every booth, every person I was talking to, there's like shaking the room, and like, or shaking them, and they're like, oh wow, and they wanted to talk with me and interact with me. And my grandmother's like, what? Because she hasn't seen it, you know what I mean? She hasn't seen me on a day-to-day basis like she used to. And she's like, you are so shy. And then people are asking her, like, what did you teach him? Like, how is he able to do this and move and interact and influence? Like, how is he, like, my kids need to hang out with him, my son, my grandkid, or like whatever. And she's like, he used to be so shy. Like, I don't know. Like, I don't know what he did. All I know is he's super disciplined, reads a lot of books, and goes out into the world and interacts with people. And I guess that's working, and he's learning from that. So I appreciate that, man. A lot of the stuff. Like, what I love, too, is that I've learned a lot of strategies from you on how to learn. Not just, like, going out and taking the actions, but how to learn. Mm. And how humans actually learn things, not how books, you know, tell you to do things. You can read, I mean, we already know this, you can read all the books, it doesn't matter, it's the intellect. But it's not just the intellect, it's how you're applying and learning those skills and building skill sets, like hard skill sets that people don't want to do in the world, and that's why you get paid handsomely or can influence and create change with it. So what are you afraid of, even now? What are you afraid of?
That's a good question. I don't know, man. I'll give you an example. Like, yesterday I was hiking up here.
Okay.
And I saw a rattlesnake. And I went up to it. Right? Like, that's not normal.
Yeah.
Rattlesnake totally. Bites you, you're dead. Right. And I like took a video. And I was like very calm. And I remember walking away and I'm like, I should have been like afraid there. I don't know if there's just like a, I don't know. There's definitely shit that would scare me. Like,
yeah.
Like, if someone took that shotgun to my head right now, that would probably scare me.
Yeah.
Dude, I have a genuine fear of getting to the end of my life and feeling like I could have done more.
Right.
And it's
I can
not
feel that
it's not an unselfish thing, it's a selfish thing.
Right.
And I'm proud of that.
Nothing wrong
with
that.
No, it's I actually think the unselfish one is the evil one, by the way.
Oh, 100%.
But
cuz then you give yourself away.
Yeah, well there's a whole.
Yeah, we can go down that route another day.
Yeah, we can talk about Ayn Rand if you want. All right. But yeah, just getting there and feeling like I didn't tap into the heights of my potential, and that would really just piss me the fuck off. So I don't want that to happen. That's probably the only thing that really like truly scares me. Like, I don't like heights, but I've done heights, right? I like speed, driving cars 200 miles an hour. Like, I like that stuff. You know, things that scare most people, like going and approaching girls, is like, I did that a long time. Like,
right.
There's not that, like, usually I'll find things that scare me and then I will force myself to do them.
I know. Doesn't it feel so fucking good?
I don't know. But here's the thing. I don't like doing it. Like, I'll give you an example. Last summer I was in Amalfi Coast in Italy.
Okay.
We took a boat out one day and he takes us out in the ocean and there's this like cave in the ocean, like an open cave area. And he goes, so some people like to swim there. Most don't though, because there's usually like, there can be sharks out there and stuff like that. Right. The minute he said that, I was like, fuck, I have to go swim there now. Because when he said that, my first thought was, I don't want to do that. And my second thought was, fuck, now I have to do that. Right. So like I've trained myself when there's something that scares me, I just shut the fuck up and just go do it once so you can get this experience and you cannot let fear win in this case. So I fucking jump in the water, I swim into the cave. I went all the way to the end. I literally swim there. I touch the wall and then I come back on the boat. Right. It took like 15 minutes and I had to do it because it scared me. So when I find something that scares me, I just fucking do it. And the whole time I'm doing it, I'm like, I don't want to fucking do this at all. But I have to do it. There's no other way. So I don't consider myself like, oh, that's just fucking fearless. But like, I'm not. I get afraid of stuff, but I just shut the fuck up and I do it.
Right.
So that I can say I did it and I can say that thing doesn't have any power over me.
Yeah, because you understand how humans work.
But I also understand because I've done it so many times that
built up that muscle.
Yeah, you built up that muscle, but and you've learned on a deep level that however you imagine it to be is not how it actually is. And I want to keep reproving. Yeah, I want to keep reproving that to my brain that like, yo, you don't know shit. Like, watch, we'll go do this. We're fine. No sharks. Come back. Cool.
Yeah. That's so fascinating, man, because now I've moved into a completely different industry and I'll share a little bit with you. Like I went through the most scariest 6 months of my life at the beginning of this year. And I was so afraid because I had gotten into this identity where I was basically taking network marketing in my business wise. I took network marketing, business opportunities, and social media, and I had built this thing up on Facebook for years. And it started to slowly crumble. And I was so scared to leave it behind because I had gotten to the point where I had built it, which was already super scared of just building a business and finally getting there. Mm-hmm. Because I, like I said at the beginning of this, I used to think it was impossible. And then I accomplished it. And then I was so attached to that identity, so attached to the thing I was doing. And it was crazy because I got to the point where I was selling anywhere between a $5,000 or a $10,000 package. And now being years into it, I couldn't actually do it anymore because I was also scared of what it was doing to other people. And I saw how they got hurt and it hurt their finances. And I was like, man, I was living on top of the world doing all this stuff. And that's who I became. And I was afraid to like leave that identity behind. And through meeting Rich and breaking down, you know, he has decades of experience. And then he's also gone through a ton of mess inside of his business in the last few years. And the thing that happened with his mom and a lot of different things that like psychologically fucked him up. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I also went almost $90,000 in debt while my business went down. So here I got into this place where I had built a business. I did over $1 million in sales in one of these businesses. Took a little bit over 300 grand home after expenses, all that stuff. And I was like, holy wow, I did that. And then I had to work through the fear of like bringing down that fucking armor and like just being like, dude, I gotta do what I gotta do. I gotta get out of this because I lost everything. Everything fucking crumbled. And because I hired 12 people last year, did something, I didn't know what I was doing. People came in, fucked things up, messed things up. And here I am at rock bottom. Then also my health just collapsed. My whole nervous system was just stressed out. Mm-hmm. I had 103 to 104 fever for a week and a half. My girlfriend's literally reviving me back to life. I'm going to urgent care centers. They don't have an answer for me. Like, and it's hard for me to even think and process information. And I just had to just like collapse and just say, fuck it, I'm in this for a reason. Like, I need to go through this. And luckily, you know, I had my girlfriend there, and then I also had Rich, who came in and kept me basically alive during those times and was like, man, it's because like you are a good-hearted person at your core, but you got into something that wasn't like truly what you know you want to do. So mm-hmm. then I had to let all that down and be like, you know what? Like I lost it all. I ruined everything. And I had to just take a completely different route, and it was so fucking painful. And I also looked, I never knew how to manage my money. I didn't. No one ever taught me. I was only good at making it. Then mm-hmm. I lost that. And then I had no income. Everything disappeared like overnight. And I'm just fried out and, you know, almost $90,000 in debt. And I'm like, holy shit, you know? And that's where it's just rebuilding from scratch. And I had to go and learn about health and connect with people in that industry and work with Rich to learn. And then literally within a year, dug out from almost all of it. Mm-hmm. And now income's gone right back up in a way different industry. And I actually got into the insurance industry where it's crazy because I was at a point where I would sell something and it's like, it's on them to make that work. Now I've moved into an industry where they don't have the internet marketing, they don't have the social media, they don't have all these tools that they could be using because they don't know how to use it, because the older generations know how to use it and the older generations know how to use that tool to connect with the older generations. Mm-hmm. So it's really fascinating, because when I went in there, I realized like every single client that I now get, I 100% transform their finances and they win, 100%. Mm-hmm. And that for me, it's like, I had to go through everything, lose it all, destroy my health, like to finally get to that point where it's like, it's not just about me, it's about other people as well. And once I did that, it's amazing. Like, I'm so much happier because now Rich and I, like, we're going, because there's so many people that have been in you know, business opportunities or went in to go for something and lost it and lost their finances. And, you know, I just got tired. I was like, man, how do I earn still high income, but without selling something that's super expensive? And my clients, you know, it ranging from their 20s to their 50s or 60s or 70s, they can literally get started with a few hundred bucks a month and they 100% keep that money. It grows 100% without fail, you know, because I love that I'm in a part of an industry where, you know, the what happens to the economy necessarily does not, it doesn't affect this directly, indirectly, to where people don't lose. So like, I had to go through a lot of pain and really like take a step back. And I was so afraid because I'm like, no, I had this thing, you know, that was working, mm-hmm. and I don't want to let it go because I know I can make it bigger if I had the energy and the time. And, you know, I expelled so much energy, and I was scared because my whole life I've been living this way where it's just like, keep going, and then expel energy, and you're eventually going to get there and grow and build. And I had to just fucking stop.
Yeah.
And then dig out of a fucking mess. And it's crazy because most people, they take on student loans for 20, 30, 40, 50 years, and they and make them, it may take them 20 to 30 or 40 years to pay it off. Mm-hmm. And I was able to get all of that out, you know, within fucking less than a year. Mm-hmm. And for me, while destroying my health and going after the things that are important, like, it was so crazy. It was so fucking scary because I had never had that piece of my identity that it grew. And yeah, it was so fucking scary. And I was so glad that I grew out of that. And it's insane, like, because now I see through developing my communication skills, and like, now I can go help a lot more other people. And it's almost worth it to go through the pain, because then you can go and sure. really influence and impact the world.
And
like,
now,
it's insane.
And now you've proven to yourself
yeah.
that no matter what happens, you'll succeed.
Yeah, I won't die.
you won't die, but no matter how bad it gets, like, you have this. It's not based on faith. It's not based on like a law of attracting this. It's skills.
Right.
You have skills that were in any economic climate, like, you can win.
Right.
And that, to me, is like the most important thing anyone can develop.
Right. Yeah. You fucking nailed it with that one.
Yeah.
Okay, so what do you do for fun, man? Let's go a little bit lighter. What do you do for fun? Like, I saw the shotgun over there.
Yeah, we're gonna go to the gun range a little bit. That'll be fun. Yeah, so I like shooting guns. Dude, I play basketball.
Okay.
I play a lot of basketball, so that's fun and helpful for me.
Still love that.
Down where I live in Puerto Rico, there's a group of guys. They're all like badass entrepreneurs, and we play a few nights a week. So that's like
nice.
It's a good game down there. I really like frozen bananas. Have you ever had a frozen banana?
Well, just a regular frozen banana.
Yeah.
There's no innuendo here.
Yeah. This isn't like some joke.
Just gotta make sure with you, bro.
I know. Yeah. Well, you see all those bananas over there. What's going on here? Yeah. I eat a lot of frozen bananas, and okay. I'm not even kidding. That's like one of my top five favorite things to do. They're fucking delicious. Yeah, dude, like normal stuff.
Well, let me ask
normal
you this.
Shit, yeah.
What about a frozen banana is so different and special and unique that you love about it?
Than a normal banana?
Yeah.
Or than any fruit?
No, a frozen banana.
Oh, dude. So after we finish recording, I'm going to give you, I'll open my freezer and you will see like 800 frozen bananas.
Okay.
And I'm going to give you one.
Okay.
Yeah. Because I could show you better than I could tell you.
Okay. I'll experience it. Yeah. Feel it.
You will, yeah, I want you to see and feel and taste yeah. the frozen banana yeah. and not just hear about it.
Awesome.
Because really, when you did, like, how do you describe what a steak tastes like to someone who's never had steak?
It's
how do you describe color to a blind person?
Way more complicated.
Yeah, just
the same thing in life. Experience is the fastest way.
Yeah, right, which is why in marketing, a demonstration is always better than a presentation.
Right.
Right. Because when you demonstrate it to someone, yeah, they're not experiencing it themselves, but they're watching you experience it, and their neurons are going to fire, and they will on some level experience it themselves the same way.
and move and take action and go.
I know you asked a fun question. We started talking about marketing again, but.
Yeah, it's all good. Yeah, so do you want to have kids?
No.
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 So you've established no.
Correct. I like dogs.
You like dogs?
Yeah, I like dogs.
You're all about that.
Yeah, yeah, I like dogs. I like other people's kids. They're cool.
Yeah.
I speak sometimes at like middle schools, high schools. That's cool. I just don't want kids.
Why is that? I'm really curious because you've had some things that I heard from you years ago that like, no, I've never heard anyone fucking do or say. And it like, it's just so fascinating, like, because there's certain things that I did. And I'm like, wow, I'm glad I did that where no one else was doing it.
Yeah.
So
I'm curious what those things were, but dude, I have a lot of shit I need to do. Right. And if I have kids, I won't be able to do it.
Yeah.
Right. For some people, their purpose in life is to have kids and raise amazing children who will do amazing things in their lives. I don't feel that's my purpose. I feel that there's certain things I need to do. Mm-hmm. I need to create, I need to build, I need to destroy that needs to happen.
Yeah.
And I know if I have kids, it's just not going to happen. Right. Cause I'm a good fucking person and I will probably put them over me.
Yeah.
And, that's not my plan.
Gotcha.
Does that make sense?
Oh, totally.
Yeah, that's just the truth, right?
Well,
unfortunately, a lot of people have kids for all the wrong reasons.
Oh, yeah, totally, dude.
Like, I know a girl.
They don't know what they're doing.
I know a girl, Natalie's friend, who had a kid, first of all, got married on the honeymoon, cheated on the guy she married, and then they go back, guy doesn't find out. Year later, has a kid with the guy. Natalie goes, why? She goes, we were bored.
Yeah, I know. People do that.
We were
bored. It's insane, dude.
Bored.
It's insane.
You brought a baby into this world because you were fucking bored? Like, the baby's about you?
Yeah.
And not about
them? Oh, completely.
There's so many people out there, like, who should not be having kids.
Oh, of course. I totally agree with you.
So, like, yeah, it's just, I like dogs. I like dogs.
Yeah, that's good. Well, you found what you wanted because, and I'll say this just real briefly. I worked in the network marketing space for a while. I've only worked with two different companies. Never thought I would ever get into a network marketing company. Like I remember I was the shy, non-communicative type. Yeah. I get into there and it's fascinating because you learn so much about fucking people. And there have been so many people that I meet in this industry that have kids and I'm like, how the fuck are you building a business? Like, cause I'll get on the phone with people that have kids that wanted to come into the business back when I was doing it. And it's like, how can you focus? They're constantly like doing this thing and over here. And I'm like, man, like I have so much love and like, holy shit that like they're pulling off businesses and they're able to do amazing things and like run a team of 5,000 people and be communicating with all those people and working on technology and building businesses and brands and you're taking care of your kids at the same time. Like, wow, like I have so much to fucking learn. Like,
so much.
Because you're taking care of like other people that are in your immediate environment that you are 100% responsible for that are looking up to you and are directly influenced by what you're doing.
Yep.
It's crazy,
It's for the people who can do that stuff and have kids, like I have all
They're respect. Exceptional, dude.
I'm not on your level. I'm not ready for that at all. And I'm just on it. I'm not
it's
ready.
It's all good.
Yeah, I'm not ready for that. I'm not. Like, you see this picture of me, picture of the dogs. We don't need any more pictures. Like, I'm good. Just put pictures of the dogs everywhere. I'm good.
Yeah, well, to answer your question about things that I heard, getting married. That was one of the things that when I first got into your material, like, when you said, I don't want to get married, and then you went into the deeper thing of society and how the brainwashing of, like, the influences from parents, grandparents, and all this happened for millions of years, and nothing against churches, but there's a heavy influence, there's pressure in society, like, to check that one off.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, in the United States, like, I mean, I know people have heard this before, but listen to this very differently, like, half the country gets divorced.
Yeah.
Like, the writing is so clear on the wall, yet people still don't make their own decisions, and that, for me, was so fucking clear, and if I'm ever going to get quote unquote married, and now that I've been learning about financial management, I will never ever get married. One, because all the church has been established for certain reasons and we won't go there. And also, just in California, take this one for example, like when you get married, and something happens, you get divorced, like it's immediately, like, and some of my business partners have shared with me horror stories. They lose houses, they lose certain things. And that's also another reason why I've gotten into financial services, because I can basically show someone how to triple or quadruple their money in their 30s or 40s, have a family, and still be safe just in case anything happens with a spouse, so they don't lose everything. It's insane, because I have found certain avenues that most people don't know about that can totally safety them from everything. And also, like, the whole marriage thing, it's like you're bound by laws that you have no control over that other people established before you and I or anyone on this planet was alive. They were established back then. Mm-hmm. And we're still living in that. Mm-hmm. So that was something that to me was just like, what the fuck? Like, I'll never get married, like, in an actual church. And I know that is going to repel a lot of people, but it's because there are a lot more deeper stuff. It's nothing against the actual church itself. It comes from a lot of legal matters in different facets of society and the way the system's been developed from people who aren't even alive anymore. Like, think about that. Like, that's crazy. The planet's only been here for 3.5 billion years, as much as we know from looking at science. And we're living in paradigms that people created 100 years ago, 150 years ago. Like, it's crazy. Mm-hmm. So that was something that really hit home. And I have nothing against church. I think that's great for people. They want to go follow something and believe in something and establish and become better. Awesome. But when it comes to the actual financial part, that piece is so, so fucking crucial to understand what you're getting yourself into, because it can fucking decimate your life. And I've heard it over and over. I mean, look at the celebrities, look at the politicians, look at the billionaires, look at, like, how things can get crumbled because they just, you know, they didn't know these different facets, and it's just a marriage, like, you know what I mean? And what I believe, and this is my belief is that that thing of staying with someone forever and that's your significant other, that's what it is. It doesn't need to be legally, like, all this crazy stuff.
Correct. And get, like, where does it go from, I love this person and I love being with them.
Yeah.
Let's get some entity that we don't know anything about, that doesn't know us, that is some vague authoritarian whatever, and let's give them the power of this relationship. What does one thing have to do with the other?
Right.
Like, I really like bananas. Let's eat fish. Like, they have nothing to do with each other, right? So, okay, I love you, you love me, we're gonna stay together.
Great. Right, it's all good.
Why does there need to be more to the conversation?
Right.
Anything more to the conversation, in my experience, is someone else's desires being put there, like, by them. Like, so for instance, last week I was in Arizona, got lunch, my whole family was there, my aunts were there, and me and all my uncles and my dad sat at one table, and all the aunts, my mom and Natalie sat at the other table, boys, girls tables. And apparently at the girls' table, all my aunts who are older and they've been married for decades kept asking Natalie, when are you guys going to get married? When are you guys going to get married? Right? And Natalie doesn't care anymore because she's heard this for a long time. But why? What does us getting married, which isn't going to happen, have to do with my aunts? What is their incentive? What do they get out of this? Right? Well, if we get married, then it validates the decision that they made. And in my experience, the reason they want everyone else around them to get married is so that they don't feel like they made the wrong decision. I don't think they made the wrong decision to marry the person they married. I think they probably, some level, feel like they made the wrong decision just to get married at all.
Right.
Why did I hand over this power to the government and sign that piece of paper? Why did I do that? Well, if everyone else around me does it too, then I won't feel foolish.
Yeah,
I think that's a big motivator for a lot of people.
Yeah,
And they do it. They do it unconsciously, and that's why you got to be on high alert. You got to be, like, awake and present and conscious all the time.
Extremely.
When I tell it to people, like, you have to be on, like, to be on guard, alert, awake all the time. They go, "You don't mean all. I mean all the time."
Time. Yes. My man,
yeah,
dude.
All the fucking time. And they don't, like, most people live unconsciously.
I know.
And they live in a half asleep days. And so,
and only very few people will understand what you and I are even talking about right now.
Yeah, they don't get it. Like, there's someone listening to this right now who's still, literally at this moment, still in that half asleep days. And my voice is kind of in their head, and it's kind of not, while they're distracted by Instagram and they're driving at the same time. Right? And everyone has the power and the ability to be alert and present and conscious all the time, but it's a muscle.
Yeah.
And it's highly untrained because we've all been trained not to be awake. Completely different because way. You're much easier to command and direct and influence when you're asleep. That's what hypnosis is. I put you to sleep and then your guard goes down and I can just put whatever in there that I want.
Yeah.
And this is how you've been trained in
exactly.
society. Yeah.
And what I've learned too, I'm so glad we're talking about this right now. What I've learned from that is when something has become like a problem, I look at it and I'm like, do I have control over this? Or is someone at the control of this? And when that problem arises, and I ask those two questions, I can finally find what part I have not worked through that I'm still being influenced by other people in.
Mm-hmm.
And then I know that's an area that I can focus on at a certain time or now and look at different parts of my life. When's the time to focus on that? Because that, to me, getting out of that, like, you enter into this world, and you know exactly what I'm talking about. You enter this world where you are in 100% control of where you're going at mm-hmm. all times. And that piece, man, like, when people get there and they experience that, it's insane what you can do. And it's a beautiful place to be in.
It's a great place to be. Yeah, and like, a good way for people to start thinking about this, just to start picking out those spots. I think of it like a garden, and you got to start pulling out the weeds, right? And you got to keep pulling out the weeds because in a garden, even if you don't do anything, what happens? Weeds grow.
Right.
They're always going to be growing. Right?
Yeah.
As long as you're living, the weeds are going to grow. And you
got to
keep
gonna
pulling
come.
Them out as they come. But if you meet anyone or you see anyone and they, like, you don't like them for some reason, or they just annoy you for some reason. I'll give you an example. I was at yoga class with Natalie last night. And at the start of the yoga class, this is Natalie and Wyatt. I love her and she's hilarious. The teacher was like, I want you to set an intention for this practice. Like, one thing. And so quietly we set our intention, go to the class. And Natalie after tells me, you know, my intention I set was to just practice kindness. Great intention. She goes, and then I spent the rest of the class hating on the girl next to me. I couldn't fucking stand her, right? The whole class, I hated her body. I hated everything about her, right? In my head. And it's ironic, but why would Natalie, or why would anyone, like, unconsciously dislike someone that they don't know? And it's always because that person represents something in you that is still unresolved. It's not about them. It's your brain's way of saying, hey, there's some stuff we got to work through still, right? I don't know what the girl had or whatever, Natalie, and that's probably worth the conversation. But like that's when you find that, you need to step back and you need to go, okay, I can tell I don't like this person, but I don't know them. It has nothing to do with them. What is it I don't like about them? And what clue does that give me to what's still unresolved in me? There's always something there. Like, sometimes when I was younger and I was doing the dating stuff, I would meet a guy and he would be even more outgoing or charismatic than I was. And I fucking hated him, right? Why did I hate him? Because there's a part of me that wants to be even more outgoing and more charismatic and feels like it's hiding or like it's holding back. And he is representing to me what I could be but have not become yet. And it's unresolved potential. It is untapped potential that is screaming inside of me. That's the clue. Everyone who hates Donald Trump, figure out why you hate him. You've never met the guy. If you hate someone you've never met, there's probably something going on there. You could probably make a case for, like, Hitler. Like, you want to hate Hitler, you've never met him, I get that, right? But, like, if you hate Donald Trump, like, really, you just get emotional when you hear his name. Like, I say, Trump, 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 and you're listening, you're getting triggered. What a great opportunity for you to work on something within yourself.
Right.
And you can dislike him. You can disagree with politics or how he presents himself.
Yeah.
Totally. I get that. Right. I don't agree with everything the guy does. But to hate someone that you don't know is a surefire sign you need to work on something yourself. Sean Stevenson, who passed away recently, unfortunately,
he
told me, he said, Jason, whatever you hate owns you.
Yeah.
And it's a great insight because whatever you do hate, like, that's where I would start your work on yourself.
Right. Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah, we've riffed through and we've gotten through all the questions that I had. How about this? So where you are right now, and you've moved to Puerto Rico, and you told me a little bit about that, which is super cool. I was out in Panama a few years ago with my grandmother. She moved out there because of similar things with taxes and different things. And she's got some real estate going and whatnot. Is there anything that you want to do with your parents now that you've established a certain area? Like, is there anything, like, business-wise or entrepreneurial-wise that you would like to build with your parents, or not really, not a big thing, or they've got their own thing?
They have their own thing.
Gotcha.
I don't want them to work at all anymore if they don't want to. Right. But my dad loves working.
He just loves it.
He doesn't want to stop.
Gotcha.
And so if I did something financially where they didn't have to work anymore, that's not a gift. That's selfish for me. Right? He wants to work. Dude, go fucking work. My mom, however, she doesn't want to work.
Gotcha.
Right? And so that's great. Right? So like there's certain things I want to do with them. I want to, like, trips and things like that, I want to take them on. Like, I'm flying them to Puerto Rico, and they don't know it, but I'm going to put them up in, like, the nicest hotel room there and stuff. Like, I'm excited for that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
But in general, like, they're in a really good place.
They're in a good place.
The kids aren't home anymore. My dad is working. My mom is not. You know, they have, like last Saturday, all right, it's, like, 9 p.m., and, like, I'm over here, and I was, like, going to bed because I was going to bed early because I was working on Sunday. And they're at some dinner party with like 12 of their friends getting hammered on wine. And I'm the one going to bed early. Right? And they're having fun. They're doing good.
Yeah, my mom's actually started to do a lot more of that too. Now that she's gotten out of her career and she's done with that, she's actually going into business because she had businesses here and there, but she never really did anything because she got stuck in that whole career mindset.
Yep.
And now, like, it's been amazing to see now that she's out of it and she's got multiple different things that she's taken on and they're like sprawling up. And I'm like, man, like, I can really learn something from my mom because I didn't know she had this thing in her the whole time where she's got multiple things that are working like very quickly. And I'm like, dude, she did not put a lot of work and effort into that. Like, I have a whole nother fucking like game to learn from my mother when it comes to building businesses. And now we're starting something where we're going in and evolving some of the way people manage their money in the city that I grew up in. And like, it's amazing like that I'm now being, you know, I'm able to go and work with my mom and do certain things and like see this aliveness come back in her and she's like having fun and again. And then that's, it's a total like, reaffirmation, like it's affirming again, like in me that going that career route, like it like basically held her back for a while. And, you know, now she's alive again and it's like, wow, man, like she could have done this all along. And it's good to learn from that. And now I know I need to stay on this path and just keep building, keep growing and building and learning how to manage wealth and do certain things and then take those assets and bring into other places of life. So thank you, man, for having a big, great, huge, audacious impact on my life, man. Dude. I'm super grateful for it. And I'm looking forward to the things that we go do in the next 5-10 years.
Hell yeah, dude. It's the future, man.
Yeah, man. Awesome. Thank you, brother.
Hey, why don't you have the time you want for yourself yet? Why does your job keep letting you down? It's because you haven't developed the high income skills yet to create your own high income empire for yourself and your family. So at the link below, you now have me as your personal mentor completely free for the next 7 days. You have a free username and password. I'm gonna get started with you right away. And if you love it, it's only $10 a month after that. All right, you pay more for Spotify, and I promise you Spotify is not gonna change your life and your business the way that this can. Now, I can do this forever. So hit that link and come join us inside right now.